You are listening to a podcast from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org.
On top of railings near the children's playground known as Coram Fields is a tiny white knitted mitten. A baby's mitten. A common enough sight. Go closer, and you find it is made of painted metal. It's a permanent fixture. What does it mean? To find out, we need to follow the story of one man's campaign to do something about abandoned babies in London. That man was Thomas Coram, founder of a children's charity the like of which had never been seen in Britain. And, although it was no part of his intention, he created the first public art gallery in London. The date is the 1700s. Coram had been a sailor and then a shipwright. After a period working in America, he returned to England and set up a business as a shipbuilder and merchant in Rotherhithe and in London. He became concerned at the plight of abandoned children, describing the evils he saw around him in these words.
The murder of poor, miserable infant children at birth. The inhumane custom of exposing newborn children in the streets, putting children out to barbarous nurses who starve them, or train them to beg and steal, or maim them to excite pity when they beg.
Coram determined to set up a place where abandoned babies would be taken in and brought up until they could earn their own living. Not a rich man himself, he would depend on the philanthropy of others. He had a notebook in which he wrote down the names of all the wealthy or influential people of the day.
The Duchess of Somerset, the Duke of Bedford.
And he trudged the streets of London, visiting them and trying to enlist their support. Pricking the conscience of Georgian London turned out to be an uphill struggle. But finally, after 17 and a half years, he succeeded.
The child wants a nurse. E-I-E-I.
Money was raised to buy land in an area which was then just outside London. And on it was constructed a large building comprising a boys' wing, a girls' wing, and a chapel. This was the home of Coram's new charity, the Foundling Hospital.
E-I-E-I, the child wants a nurse.
Any mother who could not care for her child and felt she had no choice but to abandon it could apply to leave her baby in the care of the Foundling Hospital. The original buildings have all gone now, but in 2004 a museum was opened near where they once stood to tell the story of what went on inside Thomas Coram's hospital. It's called the Foundling Museum. Here's Museum Director Caro Howell to explain what would happen to a baby once it was given into the hospital's care.
Babies, initially they were under 2 months old. Then it was under a year old, and they were always under a year old. And the babies' names were changed in order to make a complete break with their previous lives. There was always the opportunity there that if a mother's circumstance changed, she could come and claim her child. But it was a case of starting again, having a clean slate and being effectively reborn as a Foundling Hospital pupil. They were, within about 24 hours of admittance, they were renamed. And then they were handed over to a wet nurse who took them out of London to the home counties because London was thought to be such a centre of disease and you know, poor health. And they stayed in the families of the wet nurses until around the age of 5. And then they came back to the hospital and they were educated and brought up at the hospital until they started their apprenticeship, which was around between about the ages of 11 and 13.
They were trained to lead useful but unspectacular lives. Many girls would go into domestic service and many boys into the army or the navy. where it was not possible for a child to learn a trade, for instance, because of disability, the hospital continued to care for them until the end of their lives. There were never enough places at the Foundling Hospital to help all the desperate mothers. At times, the demand was so strong that they had to draw lots to decide who was admitted. Discovering who had got in and who hadn't must have been a very emotional moment. There's a lovely quote by a contemporary observer who said that the weeping of the mothers whose children were accepted was as great as that of the mothers whose children were not. It was possible for a mother to reclaim her child if her circumstances changed and she became able to look after it, but this was not easily done, and not least because all the children's names were changed when they were admitted, and the mothers deliberately kept ignorant of the new name. The problem of how to identify which child belonged to a returning mother led to the creation of one of the most moving reminders of the pain of mother and child being separated, the tokens. A token can be anything.
It could be a poem, a note, a little handmade object, a ring, a gambling token, a nut, all sorts of things. All the mother had to do was to remember the day that she left her child and the thing that she left with it. Understandably, a lot of our visitors imagined that these tokens were given to the children, that the children saw them or had them, but they weren't at all. They were practical items for use in identification in terms of claims of children. However, it is, you know, each one is a tiny little vehicle of hope, because if a mother did not hope that she could one day reclaim her child, she would not have bothered to leave a token. So they are very, very poignant objects.
So this takes us back to our metal mitten on the railing. It was created by the artist Tracy Emin for an exhibition in the Foundling Museum. It was clearly inspired by the story of the tokens, as well as by ideas of loss and separation, and many people would consider it another poignant object. The involvement of artists, such as Tracy Emin, is nothing new. From the start, the hospital was supported by prominent artists and musicians of the Georgian era, including the painter William Hogarth. It became the first public art gallery in London.
William Hogarth was running the only art school in London at the time, the St Martin's Lane Academy, and he was fighting his own campaign to encourage the art patrons of the day to buy British rather than buying French and Italian, because they were all going on the grand tour and, you know, buying their Canalettos. And so Hogarth was a supporter of Thomas Coram and a supporter of the hospital. But he also saw this fantastic opportunity that the hospital needed people to come. The hospital had lots of empty wall space. He and his fellow artists needed places to show their work. And so by donating art, it was giving the public the first opportunity to come and see contemporary art, because that's what it was. And of course, once they were at the hospital, they could see the children eating their meals and singing in the chapel, and their heartstrings would be plucked and they would be encouraged to give.
George Frederick Handel was another artist supporting the hospital. Benefit concerts of his Messiah were held annually. It is easy to imagine the wealthy Georgians dabbing their eyes as they listened and reaching into their breeches for their wallets. And what of Thomas Coram, the man who created this charity that helped thousands of young lives?
He was a man with an extraordinary moral compass. His campaign to establish a Foundling Hospital took 17 and a half years. It was relentless, and it took all his money. He ended his life in poverty and relying on the charity of others. I think once the hospital was established, it was very sad. He was ousted from all the committees and is said to have been seen sitting in the colonnades, and he had his big red coat, his pockets were filled of gingerbread, and he would hand out gingerbread to the children.
The child wants a nurse, the child wants a nurse, E-I-O. child wants an heir.
Today, the Foundling Hospital, no longer a residential institution, continues its work as a children's charity under its new name, Corum. Carol Harris is its archivist and looks after its extensive collection of Foundling Hospital records. And can you just tell us what the charity does nowadays? What is its role? Highlights of its activities?
Yes, the charity today, and really since the end of the Second World War, this has been the way looked after children have been looked after, if you like, in these settings. It's all been about fostering and bringing children up within a family context. Before that time, as the Foundling Hospital was an example, it was very much about institutional care.
We have been talking about the children. And of course, their experience is at the core of the story. But I was interested in the plight of the mothers who had to give up their children, something which still happens today.
How do you think society's attitude to women who, for one reason or another, are unable to care for their children has changed since the days of Thomas Corum?
I kind of look at how we view single mothers on benefits. And even, and this is very much something Thomas Corum had to deal with, the view that if you make it a benefit system that isn't kind of punitive and doesn't drive people into poverty, well, women will just go and have as many babies as they possibly can. The only thing stopping them is the fact they get sort of, you know, limited amounts of cash. Frankly, ridiculous. But then again, you look at today's tabloids, we're nowhere near as different as I'd like to think, shall we say.
We're starting this little exploration of Camden history and Camden life with that one image of the mitten on the railing.
Yes.
What does it mean to you? What do you think of Tracy Emin's mitten?
I really like it. It's so much what a good artist does. It's a very, very small but very direct motif that sums up so much about certainly what Corum's been about and the Foundling Hospital. And about the idea of a child as well being separated from their family. I think when you see mittens like that, as we all do, or the odd shoe on a railing or whatever, or windowsill, there's another mitten or another shoe there, and there's somewhere else. And the idea of this is unnatural, this separation.
The tiny mitten has led us to a story full of human emotions, and to the doors of a fascinating modern museum. It is a tale of benevolence, but also of loss and separation. A continuing history of 275 years of people trying to do the right thing in the changing context of their age. And quite a lot of the time, getting it right.
The show was written and presented by Peter Hayes, and it was produced by Freddie Chick. Thanks to the Foundling Museum and to Corum for their support. This show was the result of a collaboration between the Camden Tour Guides and Camden Community Radio. Listen out for more.
You're listening to a download from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org